tell me if this specific brand of frustration sounds painfully familiar to you.
Oh, I bet it does for a lot of people.
All right. So you're throwing a party, you head to the supply store, and you spend a pretty significant chunk of your budget on decorations.
Yeah, and you bring it all home thinking you're ready to go.
Exactly. And you proceed to tape things up just all over the house. Like you've got a streamer draped over the doorframe, maybe a few balloons tied, you know, sort of haphazardly to the dining chairs.
Maybe a banner stretching across the living room window if you're feeling ambitious.
Right. And then you step back to admire your work. And the room somehow still looks, well, entirely empty.
Empty, but paradoxically completely chaotic at the same time.
Yes. It feels less like a curated celebration and more like a party supply truck just hit a speed bump and spilled its contents right into your living room.
Like, none of it is actually making a real visual impact.
It is a remarkably common scenario and, frankly, a very expensive way to just stress yourself out.
It really is. I mean, most people approach party decorating as this exercise in sheer volume.
Like, if we just buy enough stuff, it'll eventually look like a party.
Exactly. The assumption is that if we just sprinkle enough festive items across enough square footage, the room will cross some magical threshold. But, you know, human visual perception just doesn't work that way.
We don't really process a room by taking in 50 tiny details all at once.
No, we look for a center of gravity.
And today, the mission for this deep dive is to give you that center of gravity.
Mm.
We are completely flipping the script on how you approach event design.
We really are. We're unpacking the professional framework for creating a high-impact, stunning party setup on a surprisingly tight budget.
Yeah, we have an incredible wealth of insider knowledge today from the source material provided by Maya Goldstein. She's a senior event designer at Party Boutiques out in the greater Toronto area.
And she has styled absolutely everything you can imagine, from like intimate first birthdays tucked into these downtown condos to massive 50th milestone blowouts in sprawling backyards.
She really has. And before we get into the exact mechanics of her framework, I want to make sure you know that you don't have to hunt down these materials across the entire internet.
Oh, definitely not. That's a huge time sink.
Right. You can actually get everything we're going to break down today, all the professional supplies and custom setups in one place. You can visit the Party Boutique store in person at 7724 Youngsent, Thornhill, IADN.
Or, you know, you can simply visit their website to place an order for literally any party supply you want at partyboutiques.ca.
Super easy. So you're starting with the right tools. Okay, so the core philosophy here. We need to stop sprinkling our decorations.
Stop the sprinkle. Exactly. The fundamental paradigm shift here is concentration.
Right.
The secret to achieving that highly designed professional look is taking your entire budget and all your physical effort and pouring it into one single strong focal wall.
Just one wall.
Just one. Specifically, you want to identify the spot where the cake is going to sit and where the majority of the photos will be taken.
You build your architecture there and let the rest of the room remain totally simple.
Exactly.
That's kind of the difference between decorating with a shotgun and decorating with a spotlight.
Oh, that's a perfect analogy.
Because when you scatter decor randomly, you're just hoping something catches the eye.
Mm-hmm.
But spreading your budget that thin means no single area has enough visual weight to anchor the room.
Yeah, and by forcing all the attention to one curated space, you're basically telling your guests exactly where to look.
Right.
That visual weight is the key differentiator. A single, dense focal wall separates a party that looks intentionally designed from one that just looks like an afterthought.
So when someone walks into the room, their brain immediately registers that specific zone as the stage for the event.
Precisely.
Okay, so knowing we need to concentrate our efforts is great, but we still need to know exactly what to put on that wall without emptying our wallets.
Which is the tricky part for a lot of people.
Definitely. So let's break down the actual anatomy of a professional focal wall.
Right.
What are the core components building this visual weight?
Okay, so according to Maya's blueprints, a complete focal wall relies on five essential ingredients working in tandem. First, you need a balloon arch or a really dense balloon cluster.
Okay, got it.
Second, a happy birthday banner. Third, you want those large foil number balloons to denote the age or the year.
Right, the big shiny ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Fourth is a backdrop of some kind stationed behind the cake table. And finally, tableware that perfectly matches the aesthetic of the wall behind it.
When those five elements lock together, the whole room just transforms.
It really does. It's night and day.
But, you know, the natural assumption when you hear phrases like balloon arch and focal backdrop is that we're talking about hundreds of dollars.
Oh, absolutely. People hear arch and panic.
Right. but looking at the numbers from the Thornhill store, a full classic setup covering all five of those essentials, plus tableware for 10 guests, comes out to about $132.90 Canadian.
Which is remarkably accessible for a custom look.
It is. But I do want to push back on the practicality here just a bit. Even if the price is good, building a massive 16-foot balloon arch sounds intensely intimidating for someone who has never done it.
Sure, it sounds like a lot of engineering.
Yeah, like, yeah. Doesn't an arch require a complicated structural frame and, I don't know, a massive tank of expensive helium?
See, that is the absolute most persistent myth in DIY event design.
Really?
Oh, 100%. The modern organic balloon garland requires absolutely zero helium and no heavy metal framing whatsoever.
Wait, no helium at all?
None. The $29.99 kit includes over 116 latex balloons of varying sizes, and it comes with this flexible plastic decorating strip.
Oh, okay.
You just inflate the balloons with regular air, tie the knots, and slip those knots right into the holes on the strip.
Huh?
It creates this flexible, organic shape that you simply command hook or tape directly to your wall or doorway.
Okay, air-filled makes sense for the budget, but doesn't a balloon arch kind of lose that classic, magical, floating party aesthetic if it's just heavy, air-filled balloons taped to a wall?
Not at all. It actually feels much more modern. The floating, helium-filled string of Pearl's arch is very 1990s.
Okay, fair enough.
The current professional aesthetic relies on creating what looks like organic architecture. By mixing different sizes of air-filled balloons, say 5-inch, 11-inch, and 16-inch, you create this lush, cascading, sculptural element.
So it looks like it's sort of growing up the wall.
Exactly. It feels bespoke and substantial, whereas floating helium balloons often just look sparse.
That makes a lot of sense. The variation in size is what gives it that custom, expensive texture.
Definitely.
But let's say someone is looking at that $132 total, and it's still just a bit too steep for, like, a casual Sunday afternoon gathering.
Right. Sometimes you just need it to be cheaper.
Exactly. If we have to make cost-saving substitutions, what's the smartest way to strip this down without losing the impact?
Okay, the very first thing to drop is the foil backdrop. That saves you about $19.99 right away.
And what do you use instead?
Simply utilize a clean, blank wall in your house. Let the wall be the negative space.
Okay, that's easy.
The second substitution involves the arch itself. You don't need to build the entire 16-foot garland.
Right.
You can inflate a fraction of those balloons and create a tight, highly concentrated cluster using just two colors. Tape it right into the top corner above your cake table.
So you still establish a powerful focal point, but with half the effort and a lower cost.
Exactly. You're basically creating an accent piece rather than a full frame.
I love that.
Yeah.
But if we are stripping things away, what are the absolute non-negotiables? Like, what has to stay to make it feel like a designed event?
The narrative elements.
Yeah.
Specifically, the 16-inch air-filled banner, which runs about $9.99, and a pair of 34-inch foil number balloons, which are $17.99 each.
Okay.
For under $46 combined, those two items do the heavy lifting of contextualizing the whole room.
Because they name the event?
Exactly.
When a guest walks in, or more importantly, when someone looks at a photo 10 years down the line, that specific combination of the name, the greeting, and the age instantly establishes the context.
Yeah, the architecture draws the eye, but the numbers in the banner actually tell the story.
They provide instant personalization.
They do. But, you know, knowing what to buy and where to put it leads us to the next massive hurdle, which is execution.
Oh, the actual setup.
Right. Assembling the setup so it actually looks chic instead of messy requires strict adherence to two professional rules.
Let me guess. Color discipline and timeline management.
You got it. The color aspect is fascinating because the natural instinct in a party store aisle is to grab a little bit of everything, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
The human brain associates parties with vibrant, multicolored chaos.
But that's exactly what we should avoid. It is a total visual trap.
Really?
Yeah. The golden rule from event designers is to enforce a strict maximum of two or three colors across your entire setup. The arch, the backdrop, the tableware, all of it.
Why is that so strict?
Because throwing in every color of the rainbow dramatically increases your cognitive load when you look at it. It reads as cluttered. If you enforce a tight palette, say navy blue, silver, and white, and you repeat that palette on the table and on the wall, the eye perceives a deliberate boundary.
It tricks the brain into seeing a cohesive, unified set design rather than a collection of random objects.
Exactly. It's the psychology of visual processing. Repetition implies intention, and intention implies a professional touch.
So restrict the palate. Got it. But let's talk about the timeline, because the execution phase is where the stress really compounds.
Ooh, it's the worst part for most hosts.
The morning of a party is usually a nightmare of vacuuming, food prep, and frantically trying to tape things to the ceiling while the first guests are literally pulling into the driveway.
Which is exactly why the professional timeline is designed to eliminate day of assembly entirely.
Okay, let's unpack this.
The secret is to construct your entire focal wall the night before the event.
Now, I can see the logic there for the banners and the paper goods, but if we're dealing with balloons, wait, latex is porous, right?
It is.
And helium molecules are incredibly tiny, which is why helium balloons shrink and end up on the floor overnight.
Right.
But because we are exclusively using regular air for this architectural garland and the foil numbers, they don't leak the same way.
Your deduction is spot on. Helium escapes through the microscopic pores in latex very rapidly. A standard helium-filled latex balloon will only stay buoyant for about 10 to 12 hours indoors.
That's practically no time.
Exactly. But air molecules are larger, and they don't leak through the latex at that same aggressive rate. Plus, foil balloons have a much tighter material structure than latex.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so an air-filled foil number balloon or an air-filled latex arch will literally hold its shape and volume for days, sometimes even weeks, without drooping.
That is wild. It's the equivalent of meal prepping for the week, but for event design.
That's a great way to put it.
You do all the heavy lifting, all the inflating, the structural assembly, while you are calm and relaxed the evening before. So when the doorbell rings, you're actually ready to host, rather than standing on a chair sweating.
It fundamentally changes the experience of hosting. You only reserve helium for elements that absolutely must float freely, like maybe a few specialized latex bunches flanking the entryway.
Right.
And because you know the physics of helium escaping, you make inflating those the very last task you complete on the morning of the party.
That is incredibly practical. So we have this universal blueprint. Centralize the visual weight to a single focal wall, enforce a strict three-color maximum, and airfill the architecture the night before.
That's the formula.
But how modular is this blueprint? Let's look at how Maya adapts this exact same formula for vastly different demographics. Because a raucous 7-year-old's birthday party has a very different energy than a sophisticated 40th milestone.
True, but the underlying architecture remains identical. It is only the thematic dressing that shifts.
Okay, give me an example for the kids.
So for a young child's birthday, the strategy leans heavily into bright, energetic palettes and character integration. Maya highlights a 7th birthday party in Vaughn as a perfect example of keeping costs low while maximizing the theme.
Oh, nice. How do they execute that specific setup?
They utilized a purple balloon arch kit to establish the color boundary, integrated a single large foil character balloon that the kids specifically requested, and anchored it all with an add-an-age kit.
What's an add-an-age kit?
It's this highly efficient $9.99 banner set where you physically build the number yourself, meaning it can be reused for different years.
Oh, that's super smart.
Yeah. They built a massive themed focal wall for 12 kids, and the entire decor bill remained under $70.
Under 70 bucks. That's incredibly efficient. But let's slide down the age scale for a moment. What about a first birthday party?
Ah, the classic first birthday.
Honestly, a 1-year-old is likely just going to try to eat the balloon ribbon and will remember absolutely nothing about the event.
He really won't.
So from a design perspective, why invest the time and budget into a focal wall at all?
Well, that touches on a very poignant aspect of why we celebrate milestones. The focal wall at a first birthday is practically never for the child's immediate entertainment. It is entirely designed to serve as the perfect photographic stage for the parents. You are creating the backdrop for a lifelong memory that will be framed on a wall or preserved in an album.
Gotcha. We're designed for the camera, not the baby.
Exactly. And because the subject of those photos is a 1-year-old, the physical orientation of the design has to adapt.
Because they're tiny.
Right. Babies spend the majority of a party on the floor or seated in a high chair. A massive arch towering up to the ceiling is useless if the camera is angled down.
Makes sense.
So professionals keep the decor low. They build thick balloon clusters down near the baseboards, keep the cake smash zone visually clean so the photos aren't cluttered, and anchor the setup with a single clear number one balloon right at the child's eye level.
You literally lower the center of gravity to match the guest of honor. That is brilliant.
It works perfectly every time.
And on the completely opposite end of the spectrum, what happens when we transition to an adult milestone? like a 43rd or 50th birthday where characters and bright primary colors are no longer really appropriate.
For adult milestones, the aesthetic shifts aggressively toward metallic finishes. In the GTA, the absolute most requested adult palette pairs gold with either stark white or deep black.
Black and gold.
Yeah.
Very classic.
Yeah, metallics are crucial here because the way they reflect light mimics the look of high-end materials.
They elevate the perceived cost. Like, a gold foil looks heavy and intentional.
Precisely. Maya detailed a 40th birthday in North York that executed this beautifully.
What did they do?
They employed a strict black and gold palette using two massive 34-inch gold foil numbers, a gold foil backdrop to catch the room's lighting, and simply draped a $5.99 rose gold paper garland across the dessert table.
And because the color discipline was absolute, the final installation looked remarkably polished.
Exactly. It gave the impression of a very expensive custom rental piece, but it cost a fraction of the price and required very little assembly.
Okay, but everything we've talked about so far, the condo in North York, the living room in Vaughan, relies heavily on a controlled indoor environment.
Oh, yes. Indoors is safe.
The walls aren't moving. The temperature is stable. But here's where it gets really interesting. In the summer, celebrations inevitably migrate outdoors to backyards or public parks.
They do. And that changes everything.
Once you take this perfectly curated, air-filled architecture out into the elements, you are battling a completely different set of physics. How does a focal wall survive an outdoor GTA party?
Taking the setup outside introduces so many chaotic variables, and before we even touch on the physical decorations, Maya flags a critical administrative hurdle for park parties.
Oh, right. Permits.
Yes. If you are planning a larger gathering in a municipal space, you are likely required to hold a picnic permit. It is imperative to check the City of Toronto or City of Vaughan guidelines before you invite 50 people and set up a massive decor station on public grass.
Right, because the fastest way to ruin a focal wall is to have a bylaw officer ask you to dismantle it. But legally speaking, once we are cleared to build, what are the physical threats? If we construct this beautiful organic balloon garland and carry it out to a park near the lake, what happens when the wind picks up?
Well, think about it. If you're tying dozens of balloons together into a massive 16-foot structure, you are fundamentally building a giant sail.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that.
Indoors, you can get away with a few pieces of tape or a small adhesive hook. Outdoors, the wind is the absolute enemy of your architecture. If a gust hits an unsecured arch, it instantly becomes a tumbling, colorful tumbleweed rolling across the park.
That sounds like a nightmare. So how do you counteract the sail effect?
Aggressive anchoring.
Like sandbags.
You must explicitly tie down every single structural cluster of the arch. You secure them tightly to heavy park pavilion posts, sturdy fences, or you bring dedicated water weights to anchor the bases.
You cannot rely on light adhesives outside. You need physical tension. But beyond the wind, there's the issue of the sun. I imagine a cluster of dark balloons baking in the August heat. The air inside the latex is going to heat up and expand, right? Won't they just start popping one by one?
Heat expansion is a very real threat, which is why the durability of an outdoor setup comes down entirely to material quality. Cheap, thin balloons will absolutely burst as the air inside them expands against the thin latex.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Furthermore, direct sunlight causes a process called oxidation, which turns shiny latex into a dull, matte finish very quickly.
So how do professionals mitigate that? Do they, like, underinflate the balloons to leave room for expansion?
Yes, underinflating slightly is a really smart tactic. But more importantly, Maya emphasizes investing in professional-grade materials.
Like specific brands?
Yeah. High-quality latex brands like Qualitex have a much thicker wall structure. If they're properly tied off to prevent air leakage, they will stretch to accommodate the heat expansion without immediately bursting.
Oh, I see.
They will still oxidize and lose their shine, but they will survive the afternoon structurally intact.
Okay, so to synthesize this entire framework, the biggest takeaway is reallocating your resources. Stop spreading your budget and energy thin across an entire house or venue.
Yes, consolidate everything.
Concentrate everything into one dense, beautifully color-coordinated focal wall behind the cake table. Enforce a strict three-color maximum to create that high-end visual cohesion.
And don't forget the timeline.
Right. Exploit the physics of air-filled balloons to do all your assembly the night before, completely removing day of stress.
Best piece of advice right there.
And if you are braving the elements in a park, Remember, you are building a sail-use professional-grade latex and anchor everything aggressively.
That covers the operational mechanics perfectly. It is ultimately about trading frantic, chaotic decoration for deliberate, intentional design.
And as a reminder, before you start sketching out the focal wall for your next big event, you don't need to source these materials blindly.
No, definitely don't do that.
You can find all these specific supplies, the exact arch kits, the professional grade latex, the banners, and the foil number balloons, by visiting the Party Boutique store at 7724 Young Saint, Thornhill, on Way Bend.
Or you can easily visit their website to place an order for any party supply you need at partyboutiques.ca.
Everything in one place.
You know, examining the sheer amount of strategy that goes into these focal walls, it highlights a fascinating shift in how we socialize.
What do you mean?
Well, we used to decorate the entire room to create an atmosphere for the guests to mingle in.
Right, the focus was on the ambient environment.
Exactly. But by condensing all of our effort into one highly photogenic backdrop, it raises an interesting question. Has the pursuit of the perfect focal wall fundamentally altered the concept of hosting?
Oh, wow.
Like, are we still focused on the lived experience and hospitality of the guests currently in the room? Or has party planning slowly morphed into a form of stage production, where the primary goal is simply securing the perfect visual asset for the future?
Oh, that is a really sharp observation. Have we traded the warmth of hosting for the perfection of set design?
It makes you wonder.
That is definitely something to chew on the next time you find yourself aggressively color matching napkins to a balloon arch. Well, whether you're designing for the guests in the room or the camera lens, at least now you have the blueprint to do it without turning your living room into an expensive explosion.